glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Psalm 37, verse 4, a favorite of mine, and I hope it'll become a favorite of yours today. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalm 37, verse 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, January 16th, 2024. And if you were with me yesterday, you heard my interview or my talk with Dr. Philip Foster. He serves in the greater Bloomington Normal area. He's licensed as a clinical psychologist, a certified spiritual director, and a director of development at Truth and Love Counseling. And yesterday he shared some of his faith journey, life story, a little of his love story, the beloved Roxanne. We didn't really get to talk about his two adult children that he's very proud of, or his dog that recently tore up some of the house. But it was a delightful interview, and I think there's points of application. If you missed it, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org, also WLUJ.org, and look under the Mark and Friends tab. And yesterday's program was entitled Meet Dr. Philip Foster. Today's program, it's going to be on making 2024 a great year for you. In fact, last Thursday, he spoke to the ministry leaders and he titled his talk on how to have a greater 2024. And he took the word greater and he did one of those acronyms where he gave each of the letters, G-R-E-A-T-E-R, and then gave examples of what, like gratitude or read or examine and affirm. And so I have him back today for the Testimony Tuesday edition to give us all some tips, some ideas, some thoughts on how 2024 can be a great year. And great doesn't just necessarily mean everything's going to work out and be hunky-dory and your checking account book will balance, that everything just works out. Sometimes, like in Job's case or in other cases biblically, it doesn't always go well. But what does that do? That forces us to lean into Jesus, to relinquish control. I think you, Dr. Philip, had talked about sometimes God will let you do what you want to do. He'll say, go ahead, put all your energy, efforts into it, and watch how exhausted you're going to be, or watch how sidetracked you're going to be. Yeah. And it's when we learn to surrender and submit that things really go well. But I have you back today because I was intrigued by your acronym, GREATER, and I would love for you to take our listeners through that as an example of how they can turn 2024 into a great year, a God-honoring year.
Well, Mark, thank you for having me back, and I look forward to sharing this with others besides the pastors. There are a lot of things that we attempt to do, commit to do early in a year to have a better life and various other goals that we may have. And statistics tell us that people don't keep those resolutions for very long. Most people don't last longer than a week. Something like 27% last about a month. After that, there's only about 8% that last a year following through with a resolution. And most of those are so insignificant in some ways. You know, we make a pledge, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to start exercising, I'm going to do this. And then we focus on one facet of our life, and there may be some amount of good that comes out of it. But my focus was, how can we have the kind of life that is really greater? And what I mean by greater is one that's much more fulfilling and significant. What commitments can we make that really make a difference in our lives? And they're all related to one thing, and that is having the kind of relationship with God to where we know and understand who God is and who we are in relationship to God and the life that God wants for us, because there is nothing any greater than that. So each letter for greater is recommending one particular focus that we can have that will change that will make a difference and a difference that can actually be measured and appreciated and experienced in such a way that we'll be glad we did it.
And I like when you introduce this topic to all these pastors and ministry leaders. Now, they're familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ and their followers, their believers. They accept that God is sovereign. He's represented in three persons, if you will. There's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I'm also thinking for the listener that's driving to work, that hasn't begun a faith journey, what might they glean or understand? Because we're talking about the ultimate is that we get to know God, that we recognize He loves us, that He cared for us, that He suffered on a cross on our behalf. He wanted to restore us into a relationship. But for the person that maybe doesn't have that faith journey started or doesn't know about God, how might walking us through this greater 2024 be applicable to them?
Well, I think we need to understand that our ways are limited. My ability to run my own life only leads to certain conclusions, and they're not the type of things that merely make a difference. I tried running my own life. I think most of us are very independent in that sense, that we don't want people telling us what to do. And so we try to live a good life. We try to be successful. We have various goals, whether it's I want a good reputation, I want to climb the ladder where I work, I want wealth and prosperity, or maybe I just want to be successful at what I do enough that I can retire someday. Mm-hmm. These are all very limited experiences that we're striving for. When people reach midlife, there are three questions that we usually ask. One is, are you where you thought you would be when you first started out? Have you accomplished what you set out to accomplish, the goals that you thought you would reach? And has your life really mattered? Because I don't think there's a person out there who wants their life to be insignificant. We don't set a goal of, I don't want to be significant, I'm going to be insignificant. I think we all want to make a difference, and we like it when our life really does make a difference in somebody else's life. Now, there's some research that says the only way to really achieve a higher level of happiness is to help somebody else. The lottery doesn't work, and nothing else really works to make us happier. We reach a set point, and the only thing that makes us happier is knowing I made a difference in that person's life. Their life is changed because of me. So what are we really resolving to do? Are we resolving to actually do something that matters? At the end of the year, I can say that was a good year because I accomplished this. Money doesn't do it. A lot of things don't do it.
All right.
But a relationship with God. And I'm not talking about you need to start going to church and practicing religion. This is all about how can I actually know God, have a relationship with Him, know the love that God has for me, know that God created me and has a purpose for my life, that God has created me in a specific way that only I can accomplish what He intends to accomplish through me because of how He made me. I think we all want that purpose. We all want to know that really my life is different and that I am unique and endowed with certain attributes and qualities and possibly spiritual gifts if we are follower of Christ.
And listening, friend, if there's a tugging on your heart or maybe we're scratching where you itch, maybe you've been thinking about, could God really love me? Or maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you knew God growing up, but you kind of turned away from Him or followed your own methods and means or made some mistakes and feel you can't return to God. Yesterday's program, we addressed some of that. God loves you. He cared for you. He created you. You're unique. He desires to have a relationship with you. He's made a way. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. And if you missed a portion or didn't get to hear yesterday's program, I think some of that may fill in the blanks for you to understand how to have a relationship with God. Just stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org. And under the Mark and Friends tab, you can listen to yesterday's program because Dr. Philip Foster talked about his own faith journey and even being incarcerated and how God used that to awaken him to spiritual things and to God's love and some of the faith journey and the progression that took place. But God can be known. And there's a verse, one of my favorite verses, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. So listening, friend, if you never even entertained the idea that He exists or that He cares for you, just try it. Just challenge God. Say, God, please reveal yourself to me. I'm kind of lost. I'm hurting. I feel there's a void, or there's got to be more meaning and purpose. Ask God to reveal himself. And I trust as you seek after him, as you read his word, the Bible, as you talk with other believers, he'll reveal himself. He loves you. He cared for you, and he died for you, and he's proven his love for you. Just entertain the idea he exists, and don't be surprised if suddenly you find yourself, I really believe God exists. Well, you took us through some words that could help us know God or serve him 2024, and so I'm going to ask you to take us through this word greater and break it down so we can have some concepts or thoughts or tips on how to improve our 2024.
Sure. And experiencing God is kind of the word I like to use. I want us to be able to experience God as real. God wants to be experienced as real. We sometimes imagine this God up there and he's looking down and he's going to whack us over the head if we step out of bounds. Or some people were liking him to a watchmaker who created the watch and he has no idea who's wearing it or whether it still works or not. But that's not God. He wants to be involved in our lives. And the only thing that's standing in the way is our being open to that. So each letter is a matter of how can I open myself up to experiencing God in an intimate, close relationship with God. G starts with gratitude. We're told throughout Scripture, give thanks in all circumstances. That's kind of hard to do. Sometimes we sit there and we want, what have I got to be thankful for? You know, Solomon Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, when prosperity comes, rejoice. When adversity comes, remember, God made one day as well as the next. We tend to look at things, if they're not the way we want them, then there's something wrong with it. It's a bad day. I don't like colds. They're annoying. They're bothersome. But do they really accomplish that much negativity in my life, or is it just my attitude about it? There's a play by Shakespeare. The character says, there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And so it's how we look at things. Do we have things to be thankful for? Of course we do. But do we bother to be thankful, or do we get caught up in our discomfort, our inconvenience? So one of the ways that we can change our attitude is daily, making it our focus to look for the things that we are thankful for. I had a book once on my shelf. I loaned it out. It didn't come back. Mm-hmm. I'll have to go buy another one or write my own. But it was 10,000 things to be happy about. Mm. It was nothing but that, a list of 10,000 things. I can imagine the person who wrote that by the end of the 10,000 was feeling pretty good about life. Mm-hmm. How could you look around and complain when you know there are at least 10,000 things to be happy about or to be grateful for? The second letter, R.
Wait, I want to jump in because I put a smiley face under the gratitude because you talked about those people, tongue-in-cheek, that criticize a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we practiced in our small group once, going a week with, I think it might have only been a day of no complaining, and most of us couldn't make it. But one person said, well, it's not a complaint, it's just an observation.
yeah, that's it.
So reframing, okay, that's a little different, but we're still observing it from what we call a negative screening. Yeah. We're looking for the bad. We're looking for the negative. We're looking for what we don't like. That's our brains. We control what we think about, what we focus on. We can turn it around, and we can learn to look for the positive, look for the good. And I'm not saying lie to ourselves. I'm saying recognize what is reality.
Yeah. And there's so many. There's tens of thousands of things each and every day to thank God for, to be grateful for running water, for air conditioning or heat, for transportation, roof over our heads. I mean, it's endless. We can see, or, you know, there's some people that are blind, but they still have their lungs are working, or they can walk. I mean, there's so many different things.
Yes, there are. And some of the people that I've found to be most grateful are the people who seem to have the least. Mm-hmm. I think that we become comfortable and conditioned to want to always have things the way we want them. And when they're not, then that's all we focus on. So just to make sure that we're able to cover all of these in the limited amount of time, I'm going to probably spend less time on each. But each one of them, I'll try to highlight what's significant about each letter. G, again, is for gratitude. R is for reading. I think it's important that we read books that feed our soul, is how I like to put it. And I usually recommend man-sized books to people, which means it's only about a quarter inch, 110 pages. It's something they can get through. But the idea of reading is not just reading for knowledge, but reading, like I said, something that feeds your soul, something that speaks to you, that maybe speaks to you about God and who God is. We were talking about A.W. Tozer's book, Knowledge of the Holy. It's a little deep, but it's profound what he has to say. We need to read books about him, about his love for us, the relationship that we can have with him. We need to read scripture, obviously, but don't just think that you got to read through the Bible in a year or that you have to start with Genesis and you can't stop until you're all the way through Revelation. Pick one book. Philippians is sometimes called the Song of Joy. It's a book about joy. And so it's only about four chapters, I believe. It's a good book to read and sit and listen to and really reflect upon.
One thing that you shared with the pastors, and I was really intrigued by that, but you said read different versions of the Bible. And I mentioned this, I think, briefly yesterday, but we sometimes will see a verse and just skip through it because we know it. But you said if you use a different version or translation, suddenly you have to pause and think through, oh, that's a different word. And it really many times will elicit new thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. I did the NIV for 30 years, and then the English Standard Version came out, and I thought, well, this would be a good time. Let's read the Bible in a different version. And sure enough, I read through a passage one day, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know this passage. That's not what it says. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it does. It's just translated a little differently, a word or two here, and it helps me to have a different understanding of what that passage is saying.
So as we work through this word greater, we have gratitude, we have reading. What's next?
E, which I use for examine, and by examine, I'm spelling it E-X-A-M-E-N. It's an old practice of looking back on your day and reflecting on what did you see happen that day? Where did you see God in that day? And then I like to pray about it and ask God to show me through his eyes, what was he doing that I may have missed? And so I like to look for maybe opportunities that I missed, maybe chance encounters that I just kind of took for granted, but could have been significant had I stopped and thought about it and how I could have benefited from it or helped someone else to benefit. Or maybe there were opportunities where I could have helped someone. Mm. I could have done something and I chose not to. And I need to reflect on that. Why didn't I? Why didn't I pause long enough to be able to be generous and kind? So examine is looking back on the day and learning from it, not to feel guilty and regret, but just you look for the good, of course. You look for things that you can be thankful for that will help you appreciate how God is working in your life. But then you also are asking, how else can I continue to be used by God in ways that make a difference? And then A is a very important word, the word affirm. Affirm means to state what is true. It means to affirm the things that you know to be a fact. And so we affirm, and if we do this daily, we affirm the truths about God, the things that God says about himself. In Psalm 62, God says, I am able and I am loving. And those are two things that we can believe about him. And we can hold on to those, and we can allow that to influence the way we think about our day. God says in Romans 8:28 that he promises to bring good out of every circumstance that is according to his purpose mm-hmm. for those that love him. And so we can trust that in every situation we're in, no matter what happens, A.M. Bounds in a book on prayer says that God is the superintendent of all things. And as the superintendent of all things, he is the only one that allows things to happen in this world or doesn't allow them to happen in this world. That everything that he allows, he intends to use for good. Mm. And so by holding on to those things, we can look at our circumstances differently and say, okay, I may not understand it, but I believe that God intends to use this for good. And so I will go through that. In psychology, we use affirmations, and you may be familiar with the character in Saturday Night Live who does this, mm-hmm. looking in the mirror and saying something to the effect, I'm wonderful, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're intelligent, and people will like you. But when I look in the mirror and I'm saying these things to myself, I quickly recognize that's me, and I don't like me,
yeah.
and I don't believe me, and I can't make things happen just because I say them. But in Scripture, there are Scripture that speak to who we are in Christ. We are children of God, the true Father of all beings. We are created, designed by him, unique, knit together in our mother's womb by his hands. We are part of a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2, a holy nation, an army of God. There are so many references to us. God so loved the world. If we want to really change our attitude, take that passage and put your name in it. God so loved me, Phil, that he gave his son to die for Phil, so that I, Phil, can have eternal life. Those kind of affirmations, I don't have to doubt. Scripture is true. Everything about it is true. And so I'm not lying to myself. I'm reading scripture that says this is who you are and this is who God is. And so that brings me closer to him. So I need to move more quickly. I want to complete the three. T is for trust. As one of the pastors put it, putting it all in God's hands. It's taking risks. The only way that we can have a relationship with anyone is we take some level of risk. I wouldn't be married if I hadn't asked my wife to first go out with me. Mm-hmm. That was a risk. She might have said no. I might have felt rejection. I might have been hurt. May have grumbled and complained and been unhappy for a long time. But I took the risk. Now, it was a calculated risk. And trust in God is calculated to some extent. But there is a position of trust that we have to take where we say, okay, this is what I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Mm-hmm. And so we trust God in certain things, and we learn that we can trust God, just as we do in all relationships. We learn to trust by taking risk and finding out this person does care. In the same way, God cares. God wants to love us and show his love to us and meet our needs, to answer our prayers. But we have to take that risk. We can't just build a relationship with God based on fact and what we know. If we could know everything about God, he wouldn't be God. We are putting our lives into the hands of a God that we cannot limit and we cannot define by human terms. We have to take a measure of risk. The next letter is another E, and it stands for execute, which just simply means we have to act upon what we say. We can't just believe all these things. They won't make a difference if you just believe in them. You have to act on them. You have to take the risk. You have to show the attitude of gratitude. You have to examine your life, and you have to read, and so on. You have to do all these things.
Yeah, I wrote down, you got to do something.
You got to do something, absolutely. You know, the thing about depression, for example, real depression makes us feel like we don't want to do anything. We can't do anything. We're just tired. We're exhausted. It's an emotional experience. It's not really a physical one as much. And the one thing I tell people who are depressed is just do something. Same thing. Anybody who feels like they're just being oppressed and victimized or whatever, do something, because as soon as you do something, you're back in control and you're back in an action mode. You'll begin to feel better because you've done something. So if you want to bring about change in your life and have a greater 2024, you got to do something. Pick one of these things and just do them and stick with it.
So far, gratitude, read, examine, affirm, trust, execute, this act to do something. But this last one, you really got me, especially when you said you try to apply it every day or a portion of every day, and that's rest. So we're looking at greater to make your 2024 greater. So I mentioned gratitude, read, examine, affirm, trust, execute. Talk about rest in our closing minute.
Well, rest is by far one of the most important, especially in our relationship to God. We want to do. We're doers. And we think that we achieve our level of success and our level of recognition and our value and so forth by what we do. But in our relationship with God, resting in the presence of God is where we experience God in the greatest way. We experience the love that he has for us. And what we're saying when we rest is, God, I trust you to take care of things while I'm away. And so when we pray in the morning, we need to devote some of our time to just listening, to just sitting in the presence of God. We need to set aside time, maybe an hour a week, and go to a prayer room or a walk in the park or someplace and just rest, just get away from responsibility. A lot of people think the opposite of responsible is being irresponsible, but it's really just being not responsible. For a while, I want to not be responsible. I want to trust God to take care of things. So I want to rest. And when I rest, I find that God is always available, always active, taking care of things. I can trust him. It's a risk, but God is up to it. Some of us take retreats. I know a lot of people that do that nowadays, and it's getting to be a much more popular thing. There's some great places to do retreats. I do it in the woods. I do it on a lake. I do it sometimes at a sacred place. But I try to build something in every day, once a week, and once a month. I'll take a day.
I like with the rest, the slow down, the listen, because you can hear God speak when you pause, when you're right. quiet. And so that rest that we all need. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments is resting on that seventh day. And so I hope that you'll take to heart one of these or many of these greater to make your 2024 greater. And if you want this list, we have it available at the station, or you can stop by truthinlovecounseling.com, truthinlovecounseling.com. My special guest today on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends is Dr. Philip Foster. He serves as a licensed clinical psychologist, certified spiritual director, and a director of development at Truth in Love Counseling in the Bloomington Normal area. Appreciated him being one of our key speakers last Thursday at the Ministry Leaders Luncheon, and I'll probably have him back to talk about some of his books that he's written or some of the devotional thoughts or the things that he's engaged with. But appreciate you. I was going to say Pastor Philip, but you do have a role of pastoring people. We all can pastor and influence others. But thank you, Dr. Foster, for joining me for Testimony Tuesday.
Well, thanks again, Mark, for letting me be here.
Well, listening friend, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab, so you can listen to it again or pass it on to a friend. But I hope you've been blessed by today's subject, and I hope that you will recognize that God loves you, He cares for you, He delights in you, He created and fashioned you for some specific things to do and accomplish. And so as you walk in cadence with His Spirit's leading, as you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender to His leading, things will go well and you will have a prosperous, I don't know if it'll be a fun 2024, but when you allow God to be involved in your everyday activities, it'll be a good day. So I hope you can take that to heart and know that God loves you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.